Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, helping product managers become product masters. Listen and get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad, and this is the place where product managers learn to be product masters. Product masters are the leaders of products and organizations. And this episode is a very special one, as I have not one, but three guests who are all on their way to becoming product masters. This episode came about with the help of one of my customers, Soren, who is in my Idea Framework e-course, which teaches the essential base of skills that lead to being a product master. We were discussing topics for this podcast, and he shared how he would love to hear from other millennial product managers. He said that the experts that I often interview provide valuable insights for him, but that he would also like to hear from product managers who are younger in their career and still figuring out, you know, what it means to be a product manager. I not only thought that was a great idea, but knowing Soren, I also thought he would be a great guest to share advice from his experience. He found two other young product managers, so we could have a variety of experiences to learn from. They are each in their 20s and have been working as a product manager for between 6 months and about 3 years. Both new and more experienced product managers should listen to this discussion, as there's something for all of us to learn. Especially younger product managers will learn the challenges product managers must deal with, some tips for improving your effectiveness, and the one thing each of the guests wish that they knew about product management sooner in their careers. For experienced product managers, please listen carefully to what motivates and frustrates these younger product managers, and think about how you could be a mentor to other product managers, also helping them become product masters. Find a summary of this discussion at theeverydayinnovator.com/114. Also, just as Soren did, if you have topics that you would like to hear on this podcast, please let me know. The easiest way to do that is to go to theeverydayinnovator.com/114 and click on the button at the bottom of the page to get the Product Mastery Roadmap. This will add you to my email list, and you can reply to the message that I'll send you with your suggestions for topics. Also, you'll find the roadmap to be valuable. Now, to the discussion. Well, I want to welcome each of you to the Everyday Innovator podcast. I'm going to try your names, and as we go forward, you can help correct me on this. I have three millennial product managers joining to talk about product management and your experiences so far. Soren, Helger, and Eugenia. And to start with, if you could give the actual pronunciation of your name, would be great. You're all joining me from Denmark, which is, I love that we're reaching across the continents here, and you have other heritages beyond that. But if you share your name, how many years you've been working in product management, and the kinds of products that you've been associated with so far?
Yeah, hey, so yeah, my name is Soren, or Soren as you would in English. Danish native. I have my background is I have a master's degree in digital media engineering, which is a combination of innovation theory, lean startup principles, and development efforts. So how do you quickly get a prototype up and running, UX tested, and bring it to market? That's where I started out. Spent a few years working as a front end developer, mainly as a student. I worked a little bit web development as well. And then my first full-time job after university was actually directly into product management. So I've been doing that for 3 years, starting in the fintech space, worked on trading platforms for currency and stock trading, and later on switched to API product management. And that's what I do now.
Okay, very good. So a lot of software.
Yeah.
Eugenia, how about you?
Hi, my name is Eugenia, or you can pronounce it in a more English way, Eugenia. I have a master's degree in computer science, and I have been studying in university in Kyiv National Technical University. My working experience started as fraud and risk analyst in online payments industry. Then I was working as business analyst in casino games development, online casino games development. Hmm. And officially, I'm a product manager for 4 months in Linkfire, but I have been doing connected product development in my previous company. So I would say that 1 year of experience.
Good. And often we don't have the title, right? Product managers go by lots of different titles. The business analyst sometimes ends up doing a lot of the product management work also.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's great. And Helger.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I'm a original pronunciation, and Faroese is Halger, so I usually go by Halger. I have exactly as you say. My title has been product manager for all of 6 months now, but I've always dabbled in projects of my own, really, with no real thread through them, I'm afraid. Everything from events to online ticket sales, and I did a board game. I translated the board game Scrabble into Faroese at one point and had that manufactured and distributed. So, and now software here at Linkfire.
Okay, so some work with physical products and software work now too. And all three of you are at Linkfire. And Soren, I appreciate you kind of putting this panel together for us to just talk about, you know, what is it like to be a millennial product manager and some of the things that have come up. Give us, listeners, just a quick soundbite on what Linkfire is about, just so we have some context.
Well, Linkfire is, at its core, it's a music marketing platform. It's essentially, it started out as a link shortening service and ended up being picked up by the big major music labels. And then the tool morphed into this whole platform for managing your campaigns for, you know, new releases, pre-releases, and different content. And that's where we are. So we do smart music marketing, and we collect a lot of data that the record labels, artists, and distributors can then use to figure out, okay, where's my audience at, and where should we focus our efforts in terms of setting up tours or new countries to enter, or, you know, where is my music fans actually located at, and what services are they on? And the product, from a front-facing perspective, is an aggregated landing page. So there's so many music services out there. It's very complex, fragmented market. So Linkfire goes out and scans across all the services and find the music and makes one easy, you know, beautiful page where the audience can then go in on Facebook and click on link, see a little sample, and then pick Spotify, iTunes, whatever service they prefer. And then they get routed, and then we track where they went, basically.
I want to get a little bit of background on just your path to product management, kind of, right? So we all come from different places. And in the process, we have some motivations for getting involved in product management. And I'm curious about those motivations for each of you. What was intriguing or interesting or appealing about product management that drew you into it, coming from your different roles, right? In you know, software development, or doing the business analysis work, or kind of a hodgepodge of different kind of product experiences.
I can start with mine. I like this general approach. You have the whole product. You don't have a specific task that you have to do, like on a daily basis, if you're a programmer, for example. But you have the whole product, and you can decide actually what you want to do, what you want to develop, which road your product should go. So this creativity combined with ability of you to deliver anything you want, this makes me really curious, interested, and I feel this like, it's so nice to do this.
Along with that, is there some kind of control aspect? I don't mean control in the negative sense of, you know, I'm going to rule the world, but control in, you know, it sounds like it's the creativity, and I'll make the leap to helping customers too, right, to provide something of value to them.
Of course.
Is it having more control or influence over that?
Yeah, it's a huge responsibility as well, because if you can decide what you want to do, you're kind of entitled and you're responsible for everything you choose to. You choose the road of the product, so you're responsible for the decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we might revisit that responsibility later, because at times we, as product managers, we can really feel a lot of weight of the organization on our shoulders. Because we know that we're responsible for our products generating revenue for our organization. So yeah, that creativity, ability to deliver what you want, really good. Who's next? How about Soren?
Well, I think my motivation first came from frustration, actually. I spent a long time thinking that I would get into project management. Studied that and come from a family of project managers, really. But I always hated the fact that the scope was very limited to, like, deliver X within this time frame. And there's no freedom to sort of go beyond that scope. And I always had more ideas of things that I wanted to do, and, you know, bigger. I guess I'm just a sort of big thinking kind of person, that it frustrated me enormously. And also, I were never that great of a developer, and I didn't really want to go out and become a developer. So going through engineering school, working with other developers, I started sort of soul searching, figuring out what can I actually do? Like it doesn't make sense to do development work. And then by accident, I actually heard about product management, and then I just consumed all the content I could read about and figured this is what I want to do. And I just kind of shifted my path. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, product management, yeah, I mean, it includes a very high degree of freedom, as Eugenia said. So you can be creative and kind of make your own path. I'm really happy about the getting a sort of abstract challenge where there's no easy answer and just say, here, just figure it out, you know, and then I have like free reigns. There's no one really telling me what to do. My job is to figure out how to even do it. That I think is enormously satisfying, frustrating at times, but enormously satisfying. And lastly, I think it's being a very extroverted person. I'm like an ENTP. I love to, you know, learn something new all the time, meet new people. And this role is just a perfect fit for the kind of personality that I am. Really.
Good. And the ENTP, so this is the Myers-Briggs type indicator, I'm an ISTJ, which is pretty opposite of that. And it also just illustrates that a lot of personality types can fit into this role, right? So I think those key dimensions of, you know, you enjoy the creativity aspect and enjoy providing value for customers, come along with it. Thanks for sharing that. And Helder, how about your path and what was your motivation for getting into product management?
I really don't think I've had a clear-cut path of any kind. And to be honest, I only ever heard of the term product management probably a year ago. Mm-hmm. But just as a, I wouldn't say discipline, but just as a sort of thing you do, I've always loved to take some sort of concept, some sort of idea from start to finish and to see something happen and to actually create something. Now that has clashed with my, for lack of a better word, let's call it laziness to never really dig in and actually learn hardcore skills like engineering. And so I've always felt in a way kind of helpless, when working on those kinds of projects of products and projects. But I have always been sort of the reconciling type to sort of create that collaboration that it takes mm-hmm. to take things from A to B.
And that's why we need product teams. If product managers could have all the knowledge we needed to get everything done, we wouldn't need anyone else. Would that be great? Maybe it might be great. Depends on the day.
Yeah, no comments.
Future full of robots, yeah.
Instead, we all know it tends to be a very collaborative role because we have to work with others to help us get the work done that we've envisioned.
Yeah, I think Helge brings up a very good point that the fact that you get to collaborate with, you know, everyone in the organization, really, you have a leg in each department to some extent. I think that's enormously great because you really get a look into other people's day-to-day work, their stress, their motivations. I think for me, that's just one of the most satisfying parts because you can help on all sorts of aspect, whether it's marketing or figure out the business case for your product or sitting with support mm-hmm. or design for that matter. I think that's great because you get in every day and you get to do new things. It's never the same as if you were.
Yeah.
It's never boring.
Totally agree. Step up in everything. Yeah.
And actually, when I started at Linkfire, and that's a bit over a year ago, I actually was hired as an account manager. So that was, you know, having this portfolio of clients and taking care of them and making sure that they were using the product right, making sure that they really got everything that they could and maximizing value for clients. And when doing so, you demo the product, you use the product a lot, you get familiar with the product. Often you get more familiar with the product than the product people. And I just sort of naturally gravitated towards being more and more engaged with the product itself and took on these sorts of collaborative roles between product and some other parts of the organization. Just sort of drifted closer and closer to that. Mm-hmm. And then it's about a half a year ago that it sort of became official and that I changed sides.
There's a lot of product managers that, and some of you shared this, that you stumbled across this product management thing accidentally, right? I was doing product management for about 10 years before I had any idea there was a field called product management. It was just outside the realm of what I had come across so far, right? And then we were doing projects, and the purpose of a project is to develop some product or service, and that's what we were doing. So a lot of us stumble into product management. And now that it's become more popular in just the last couple of years, and you see it in headlines, you know, in major publications, it's becoming more desirable as people find out about that there's an actual discipline and people are hiring product managers. And it's kind of cool to get to be in a place that you have so much creativity that you can use and apply and help customers with. So those are some of the motivations for being drawn into it. What about some of the frustrations that come along with the role? Because those of us in product management know it's not all roses and daisies and lollipops, and we run into challenges. Helger, why don't we start with you on this one? And all of you and listeners, just I butcher names so badly. Just forgive me for this. I'm trying to get close.
No, you're pretty close. Don't worry about it.
What do you find frustrating about the role? What are some challenges that have shown up?
I think the main challenge, especially like if we're talking internal things that you can actually do something about. But one of the main challenges for me is to figure out what am I? And sure, I'm product manager, and that's that's what my LinkedIn profile says. But product management is such a broad thing, and it's so different from organization to organization, and even within organizations. I mean, the three of us, we have the same title, but I think that we do very different things on a daily basis. So it's sort of figuring out what is it that you really should be spending your time on. And a lot of the time, I feel like I'm spending maybe too much time on project management rather than product management. But then again, I start thinking, but wait, isn't that the same thing? Well, no, of course it isn't. Well, wait a minute, maybe it is. So it's a lot figuring out what you should be doing. And that's something that you really can't read about it, and you can't really ask others what this role is about, because it will vary depending on where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, it does quite a bit. And we can talk about some of the big buckets of the different activities, but it's a reason why we see product managers doing very different things in different companies, and even in the same company, in different aspects of product management. There's a lot goes on from getting that idea, deciding we're going to turn it into a product, all the way out to launching it to the customer, and then trying to optimize that product's performance, right, in the marketplace. Knowing where to spend time is important. Eugenia, how about you in terms of challenges and frustrations?
Yeah, I share the same feelings that Haldir has mentioned, that it always varies what you have to do. And you're working in totally changing, shifting circumstances. Like each day you come to work and you need to figure out what is more important for today. And based on this, you're making your work day. And in most of cases, the most important thing is to kind of make that everything around you work fine and everything goes as it should be. So you're kind of not the person who does something, but you need to control everything, and everything should work smoothly. And you never know what might broke and what might go wrong. So it's like tweaking all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And figuring out what you should do today, does that imply that there's some, you know, when you come into work, there might be some new fires that, you know, need your attention, some issues that have come up?
Yeah, because you're never prepared for something like this. Nothing always goes according to plan, and you need to be prepared for this. Yeah. So this is kind of a challenge. This is the thing that make you creative and allows you to do whatever you want, and you can choose. But this is one that you need to accept and live within this environment. Yeah.
And that's an aspect of a different side of creativity, which is, okay, a new problem has come up. How do we respond to this today? You know, how can I be flexible and innovative in the sense of, okay, we need to address this problem?
It's like opposite side, some back door of it. Yeah.
Challenges for sure. And Soren, frustrations for you for the role?
think one of my main frustrations is that the scope of the role is often quite fuzzy, depending on the company or even within the organization. And since, well, you know, product management not a new discipline by any means, but in recent years, it's sort of a renaissance, you can say, right? And it is still not that well understood by others. So, you know, one thing is reading all the books and talking with your peers and figuring out, oh, this is how it should be done by the book. And I know, you know, I know my stuff. But most other people, they don't. So you have to spend a lot of time evangelizing about best practices and repeating yourself and your viewpoint and finding your place in the organization where you have influence, not only on your product, but also on how internal processes are handled. I think that can be frustrating at times because you often sit maybe a step or two or even more, depending on the size of your company, down the ladder. So, you have to fight your way up to get to have your voice heard by the executive team and give you input to how should we change the organization of teams or that sort of stuff. That can be quite frustrating at times because, you know, in your own head, you just know if it's just done this way, it works. And then I would say, yes, the other guys mentioned that the sort of you can sometimes end up becoming a glorified Jira assistant where you end up, you know, managing the project rather than the product. Mm. And you end up having a very tactical focus where you should really be spending your time on a more strategic aspect of the job. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit frustrating at times because, you know, you're making great strides in being efficient, but you're not necessarily that effective on the longer scale. Like it's very short-term optimizations. Yeah, that frustrates me.
When we look at the product manager surveys that are done by some organization each year, this seems to be the number one complaint, is that we don't have enough time to spend with customers and we're caught up too much in the tactical work and not allowed to have the time for the strategic work and really understand where customers are going next. So it is a common frustration that is shared there.
But it's a part of the job, really. I mean, mm-hmm. And what's frustrating about product management on the flip side is also what's most exciting about it, I'd say. You know, so it goes hand in hand because the frustrations are just challenges that haven't been solved yet. So you have to be creative in you know, removing those impediments for yourself and for the team and for the product. So it depends on the perspective you take on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And gaining that influence, as you said, you know, with executives is part of the role. And a lot of us, when I ask product managers why they got into product management, the two common reasons are some aspect of creativity, like you shared, like, you know, I want to create new things that create value for customers. And the other one is usually this issue of having more influence in the organization. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is earned over time. It doesn't come with the title at all, right? You all have felt this. So you have to earn that influence. I want to make sure we also share with listeners some of your insights that you've gained along the way. So, you know, the big purpose of having the opportunity to talk with you all is to help product managers that are new to the role just kind of have some more information about what is the role like and, you know, what are some of the key things that are helpful in the role. So if each of you could share something that you've learned so far to help, you know, your work as a product manager that you do, what's an insight that you've gained so far? Eugenia, how about if we start with you?
Yeah, I'd love to make any guidance to the new product managers. And let's account that I'm also myself still a new product manager. Yeah. So a lot of cases we have requests coming from the stakeholders or other people that influence the product. And in most of cases, it's described in a certain way. And you need to be aware that the description they made and is not always the intentions and purpose of what they wanted. So you need to divide what was the original resource purpose and the way it's just the way they have described this. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't be limited with the description. You just need to fulfill this original purpose. Yeah. So this is really important. This is what makes people happy when they receive something that they have felt and maybe described in a different way, and you also gain this feeling and make it a product. Yeah.
And so knowing that sometimes we don't get those accurate descriptions of what's needed, the features or the requirements, how do you go back then and find out what they really want?
I make several, I prepare my understanding of what was meant. I made several options, and most likely I would ask just to choose which is the closest one. And this initiates a discussion, and in the discussion we can receive original, more described, more specific product.
Yeah, validate what those ideas are. And are you finding, I don't know if you do this as a discussion, if you use some kind of prototype or wireframes, you know, user interfaces, what tool are you using to help with this? Is it a discussion or are you doing others?
I like to make wireframes, but sometimes you don't have time to make it. So usually it can be even a discussion and workflow, user flow, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything would do. It depends on the initial request. Yeah. Yeah. And time I have to prepare for it. Yeah, of course.
Sure. And I'm a big fan of a whiteboard.
Yeah. I do it right here.
Yeah. Whiteboards are our friends. And, you know, we don't have time for actual wireframes. You know, just draw it up on a board. And I knew one person who made good use of a flannel board with just pieces of flannel that they would cut mm-hmm. into shapes and stick on boards. And you use the tools that work for the group. That's great.
I can't have enough whiteboards.
We need whiteboards.
Our entire office, there's whiteboards everywhere on like rolling, you know, stands. They're everywhere.
Yeah. I think we probably have 8 rolling whiteboards and they're still taken all the time.
Yeah, we definitely need to be able to express our ideas on a board. Good. Soren, how about you?
Couple of things. I think one of the first things that I learned was probably a painful lesson in that, you know, most products fail. And if you fall too much in love with your product, then you get hurt real bad when it then ends up failing, because it can end up becoming more of a passion project or sort of a wouldn't say a personal mission, but you know, you have a strong emotions about whatever you're building. And you know, as what's his name, as Marura from Lean's running Lean,
scaling Lean,
what he mentioned is that you need to kind of learn to sort of love the problem and be passionate about the problem that your clients have rather than the product that you're building. Because if you frame all the discussions about the problem, I tend to find that the answer to what you're discussing tends to bubble up quite easily. You become less biased when you always take the offset in what the customer's needs and desired outcomes are. That I think is one very important lesson that I learned over time. The second thing that I learned was from my my former manager and also my first product management mentor, and he came from investment banking. And so when he started investment banking, he ended up on this rotational tour around the company. So you get to work in every single department. What do they do in the trading floor? What do they do in remittance? And you get to go around. And he forced me to go through the same cycle. So I've worked in sales. I worked in support. I worked in all the different roles to gain that understanding. And that provided me with a broader context of where the product lives and and what stakeholders there are, which leads me to my third point, which is learning how to do effective stakeholder management. Understand what expectations your stakeholders have, both your peers, your superiors, and also external stakeholders, and how to best communicate with them individually, because they're not all the same and they all have different needs and time frames, and knowing that, then you have a sort of internal roadmap on how do you approach a certain problem in a certain way. So what I've done in my roles is always when I start somewhere is ask every stakeholder of my own, like, okay, what is your role, what do you do, and what do you expect from me, and how can I help you? And then once you have that sort of clear down, you can write it down for yourself, or you shouldn't share it, because sometimes you can learn some things that probably for your eyes only, right? But I found that helps me navigate, especially early on in a company where you're still new, you haven't been there for very long. It becomes sort of a compass, really.
So thanks for sharing those really good information about loving the problem and not the product, which I think have all fallen into that area before, that we need to really understand the customer's problem and not get caught up in our dreams about what this product could be. And having that business knowledge and in the process learning about the stakeholders too, and knowing which stakeholders, sometimes, you know, we'd like to think that all stakeholders are the same, but some we need to listen to more than others, right? They have more influence on the project, and we need to make sure we're communicating well with them. And Helger, how about you in terms of lessons learned so far?
The first thing you really have to realize is that when you own the product, then you really do have to own the product. And when you own the product, you are responsible for it. And that whenever a decision is made on the product, then that decision is ultimately yours, whether you've somehow outsourced it or whether it's even made by someone who outranks you. Hmm. When it is your product, it is your product, and you are accountable for that product. And just realizing that, I think, is really, really helpful in making sure that every little thing, you put your name on it, you sign for that, and that just makes sure that you actually put that time and effort into it, that you don't end up outsourcing the difficult decisions, mm-hmm. that you don't necessarily end up deferring to someone who wants it a particular way, and that you instead work with people to get it to what you want, because at the end of the day, your sign off is the sign off,
right?
And I think that just realizing that really before you can get many further.
Yeah, and an aspect of that is being courageous, as you said, when you're having to have those conversations with someone who outranks you, an executive that may see things differently. You know, sometimes we have to find the evidence to support our perspective, right? And the data that we have from the customers in the market to say, you know, this is really why I believe things should be a different way, and have the courage to engage in those, what can sometimes seem to be uncomfortable conversations, and taking ownership for it, like you said.
You know, if you don't, then that is tacit acceptance of this decision being made on the product, and that makes it your decision.
Yep. Absolutely.
If I can quickly add to that, I think, you know, as Helge correctly points out, you in the end, you own everything about the product, and you're responsible. And even if you have these uncomfortable situations and conversations with superiors and other stakeholders, it's also important to realize that, you know, more often than not, they're also there to help you, mm-hmm. and guide you the right way. And finding someone that can be, I guess, your manager or someone else that can kind of coach you and give you that sort of ping pong on problems that you have or areas where you feel like, is it okay that I ask for help? Is it expected that I should do this? Or can I actually go out and get someone's assistance without seeming like I don't know what I'm doing or whatever? Like it's okay to not know everything and go out and ask your colleagues for advice. In mm-hmm. the end, you, of course, have to make the decision, but getting their input, better to ask than not.
I just want to do a quick poll with all of you real quick. In my experience, as I was earlier in my career as a product manager, even though I didn't know that's what I was doing, there's a couple of people that stand out to me in terms of mentors, right? People who really helped. They were sounding boards to me. They provided some guidance along the way, and they were really important mentors for my career. I'm just curious, mentors, yes, no, do you have one that has been helpful yet? Soren, yes, no?
Yes. Well, he's probably listening, right?
But yeah, we don't need to identify. I'm just curious if this is part of the mix here. Eugenia,
big part.
How about you, Eugenia?
Yeah, I would also say that the guidance helps, and I luckily have this guidance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also voting for this because it helps you get into a product if you are new, especially. Yeah,
it does. It is a way to help make some transitions. And Helger, have you had a mentor?
Yes, I mean, of course, throughout many years, I've had a lot of people who have really helped me out. Throughout those years, I haven't really had one who I've sort of clinged to along the way. Very often, I'd be working on a particular thing, and I'd reach out to someone who I respect who does something similar, mm-hmm. and to, just to ask, hey, can I talk to you, please? And that helps a lot. And reaching out to people you respect who do sort of the same thing that you do.
Yeah,
and then more recently, you know, I mean, as Sean says, I think we're thinking of the same person when he says that he'll probably listen to this.
Yeah.
But that is, I think, a person in particular, Edling Farr, who's I think who's taken it on himself to mentor us and who's doing a fantastic job at that.
Good. I think, you know, for listeners, everyday innovators that are listening, even if you don't have a mentor right now to be helping you kind of with the next path of your career in product management, this is one reason why I'm doing the podcast, is to bring other voices in to, you know, hear from some other, as I say, savvy insiders in the industry. And also, I get a lot of value out of books, right? This is where I often find good ideas for me to think about. If you don't have a mentor yet, there are other sources for information for sure. And then you just be on the lookout for someone who you can form a mentor relationship with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to shamelessly plug your show, but I spent the beginning of my career sort of looking for podcasts, and yours, David Innovator, was one of the ones that popped up, and I've been listening to it, yeah, more or less on a regular basis since I started, and it's been a great help, and it helped push me towards finding people to talk to that has been guest on your shows, and so forth. So that was a big help before I found like my mentor group.
Excellent, thanks for sharing that too. And I'm curious, even though you're all relatively young product managers, you already have a lot of experiences under your belt in terms of you got into product management, you've started taking this ownership for products, for dealing with customers, for understanding the frustrations that go along with the role and working this out some. And that is really valuable experience. And some people listening are wanting to make that transition that you've already made. So you're far ahead of them so far. I'm curious, what would you share with a young product manager that you wish you would have known sooner, so that you wish you would have known starting out or making the transition? Let's share some advice here about what you would like to have known sooner. Soren, how about we start with you?
Most importantly, be very fierce about protecting your time some way or another, and having a system for tracking everything that you need to do. So you can prioritize what's most important, because if you don't do that, you end up putting out everyone else's fires rather than doing your real job. And then also don't be afraid to share your big visions that you have, your big ideas. Don't think they're too stupid from your peers to listen to, and be ready to act quick on them. But remember to start very, very small. If you want to influence, always show rather than tell, and start something small that you can quickly get feedback on, whether it's a new process or feature or whatever it might be.
I like all those, and the show rather than tell is really good. A previous episode, which you haven't heard yet because it hasn't been published yet, but the listeners will have heard if they listened to the one previously, was Taylor Dawson at First Build, which is kind of the innovation lab of General Electric Appliances. And he shared one of their phrases is, a prototype is worth 1,000 meetings. Notion of show rather than tell. Eugenia, I'm so sorry, I keep messing this up. Eugenia, how about you?
Yeah, I would say that my advice somehow correlates with Soren's, because you shouldn't be shy. It's really dangerous to be shy as a new product owner. You need to ask, you need to participate, you need to, as Soren mentioned, ask for feedback, and you need to have a clear view of your product always. You're the person who guides it, so you need to have a clear understanding. If you feel like something is not clear for you, you need to discuss it, because you're in the position that allows you to ask these questions. This is a perfect position for actually getting the knowledge, even the best one, I would say, that you combine all the opinions and you work with it. It's just your basically resources for your work. Yeah. So don't be shy, and always, always have some kind of understanding, your personal understanding of a product. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to be curious.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Yeah. And get that feedback that we need. It is a very collaborative role, and that's how it's supposed to be. And we're getting feedback and working with others and other groups.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. And Helger, your advice.
One thing that I should have spent more time doing when I started was, and this actually, it in a way just reiterates what I mentioned earlier, but figuring out what your job actually is. Figuring out what you, in your particular context, should be doing. Is your time better spent on talking to stakeholders? Is it better spent on answering support tickets, for that matter, to get an understanding of what's going on, going out and visiting customers? is your time at this moment better spent on project management? Although that at times can feel tedious, that's sometimes what you need to do. And it changes. So to sort of define, figure out what's my job, and of course always be aware that it's going to change, mm-hmm. and to keep asking yourself, what's my job?
Yeah, I think the sooner we can try to figure out how to prioritize our time, the better off we are. And that's a challenge. It takes some experience and how to spend your time wisely.
Learning how to spend your time, I think, also teaches you that changes aren't made day to day. In the beginning, and I still sometimes feel this way, and I wish I would have known that I shouldn't be scared about it, but I often feel like I'm not necessarily delivering anything day to day. Like, because if you're a developer, you have code to show. If you work support or sales, you have a metric almost daily that you can point to and say, hey, I did my thing. But product management can be really unstructured at times, and you can kind of have this notion like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because the return on that investment that you're doing in your work, whether it's research or, you know, some, you know, off path from the main product that you're exploring, it, you know, the benefit of it or the return on that investment might just come, you know, 5-6 months or whatever down the line, and you shouldn't be afraid to do those tasks that don't have any immediate payoff, because it, mm-hmm. if you get too tactical, then you have trouble on the longer term. And that's something that I was struggling with and only recently starting to feel okay that, you know what, this is a part of what I need to do in like early product strategy work. So I'm going to spend the time and not feel, you know, feel bad that I didn't do X, because you don't necessarily have a measurement stick when you work in product management day to day.
And it can be a challenge to know where to spend our time and what we need to get done each day. Some of that comes through experience, some of it comes through helpful frameworks, things we can learn.
Yeah. Now, I think that what we all mentioned was mostly stuff for people just getting started and for new product managers. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I would want some advice on that myself, to be honest. But one way you framed the question was also people who are into it, but aren't actually product managers. If that is a career path that you want to sort of get in on. And I think that like most occupations, it's a thing that you sort of need to be naturally inclined to want to do. For example, I have all my life, I've wanted to be able to code because I see people coding things and making things, and I just see an actual result. Like Sad says, I mean, if you can develop, you can, at the end of the day, you can see, these are the commits I made, and this is the product that I made. I've just never been naturally inclined enough to actually go there. I've tried. Mm-hmm. I've done all the Codecademy courses, or, you know, the first two steps of them. But I've just never been naturally inclined enough to sit down and dig deep into it. And I think I've recently just accepted that fact that I'm not naturally inclined enough. But I think the same thing goes with product management, that I've always been naturally inclined to want to see something happen and to want to be a part of making that happen. And now more recently with Linkfire, where I started not in product management, I've been naturally inclined to meddle, really. And I see what's happening in product, and I sort of poke my head in and I try to get involved on that side. And it feels like, you know, it sort of feels like I did that enough for them to just finally get annoyed of me doing that and saying, fine, okay, here you go. Are you happy now?
Recognize your interest in product, right? And the contributions that you make in little ways, it could make in bigger ways.
Exactly. So if you want to move that way, then, you know, then do demonstrate that that is what you want to do. Get more involved, meddle, so to speak.
I do want to address this issue of strengths just for a moment, which is a little bit of an aside, and then we'll wrap up here based on our time. But I'm a big believer that we should all play towards our strengths. And one of my favorite little books is StrengthFinder 2.0 from the Gallup Group. And it helps you identify your strengths, right, and what they are. And too many of us spend time trying to work on our weaknesses as opposed to maximizing our strengths. And it goes back to why is product management so collaborative? Because we need other people to help us with these things. Helger, I'm kind of in the same boat as you in terms of I came from an engineering background. The company I joined went from doing engineering work to becoming a software company within 6 months. And I went along for the ride. And I can write a little code. I can read code better than I can write it. And it is not what I enjoy. And I'm not proficient at it. And there's people that are three times faster than I would ever possibly be. And I recognize that. That's just not, I'm not comfortable, you know, in that space. But I'm really good at working with customers and seeing insights that they don't recognize themselves about their problem and figuring out ways to provide them more value than they don't even envision yet could possibly happen. And I think we need to recognize our strengths and how we contribute to these different roles of product and take advantage of other people's strengths that aren't ours. I encourage people to focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. So I'll just sum up with that.
That completely resonates with my story. Basically said word for word how I felt about engineering and like, I'm actually not that good at it. And then at one point when I then learned about product management, I had this epiphany and I started connecting the dots going back in time. Every single school project or university project, everything I worked on, I always took on the role as like the guy to like get the idea and the research going for the team. I'm a master researcher learning a new topic. That's my specialty, learning something new really quickly and explaining it well enough so that others can execute on it. That's just what I excel at, mm-hmm. I would say at least. And then also talk with people and communicating, having that, you know, ping pong with clients and other people. That's just something that I'm naturally inclined to do. So when I then connected the dots, you know what? There's a pattern emerging here, and it just makes a lot more sense that I focused my efforts on that aspect of it rather than writing code. As much as I like reading about new frameworks and dabbling with some scripts and so on, I just get bored after a while and realizing, you know what? My time is better spent doing something else. Mm-hmm. But then you get to work with designers and engineers every day in any case. So you still get to design stuff on the whiteboard. You just don't have to debug the code, which I don't mind.
Yep. And I know we could go down that path further and discuss that, but I'm going to have to push this forward and ask you for a quote. I love innovation quotes, as you know, and I asked you to bring collectively one that you all enjoy. What is that? And share just a little bit of information about why you chose that one.
First of all, I think we got to apologize for being just a tad cliche here. But we discussed this and I think, Sean, you asked me and I said, sorry, but I got a Steve Jobs one. And you're like, yeah, I think I have the same one. It's a long one. So I'm going to go ahead and paraphrase. When you grow up, you get told that the world is the way it is, but that life can be much broader once you discover that everything around you was made by people that were no smarter than yourself, and that you can change that, you can influence it. And while I do want to challenge the no smarter than me part, it's still really understanding that and accepting it, I think unlocks a really powerful worldview, and realizing that the way things are not an accident. The way things are didn't just happen. The way things are designed, and you can design them.
I personally love this quote. As I've shared before on this podcast, it's one I have shared with my kids too, to help them understand that the way things are, they were built by people that aren't necessarily any smarter than you. And you can make your own contributions in life too in a very meaningful way. The constructs we have, someone created them. We can create new ones that might work better for us too. I appreciate you sharing the quote. Any other comments just on that?
I would just say that it's really, why I love this quote, it's really logical but inspiring. So you understand why it works like this, and it really makes you feel like, oh, I can do this. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why,
I like it because it can be applied not only to product but to anything in life, and especially as we millennials, we grow up now with we get to hear a lot about climate change or weird politics, Brexit and Trump and whatever is going on. There's so much bad stuff every day, and but you can influence and you can actually make a change. You can go out and protest, but you can also go out and build whatever you think is better and show what is the better way. And I think that's hugely motivating. That, you know, it's not just a fixed world. It's like fixed versus growth mindset. I think this quote really exemplifies what a growth mindset can do to you. I think that's hugely motivating.
I agree. As innovators, we are the ones that are going to help solve a lot of the problems that the world is collectively facing. So innovation is provides us tools there. Very good. So just in terms of wrapping up, if listeners want to find out any more about you or the company you work with, anything you just want to share?
Well, I'm on Twitter at FUHR, not necessarily person that posts a lot, but I'm available there. You can also find me on LinkedIn, and we can also, I guess, put my email up. I'll be happy to get in touch with anything that I had to do with product management coaching, APIs and UX. So hit me up.
Okay. And I'll make those links available in the show notes for listeners. So I'll make sure, Soren, I share your Twitter and LinkedIn information. Anyone else?
Yeah, I sign up as well. I would love to be contacted via LinkedIn. Yeah, it's my full name and surname, so it's difficult to pronounce it right now, but I hope that link would be...
I'll put the link in. That would be good.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough my name is uncommon enough that I have my first name pretty much everywhere. So on Twitter, it's at H-A-L-G-I-R. Actually, just halgir.com. There you've got my email and links to LinkedIn and Twitter and whatnot. And actually, really, I think this is the part where I'm supposed to say that, you know, hey, if anyone out there wants any great tips on product management, hit me up and I'll help you out. to be honest, I mean, if anyone has any tips for me, you know, then please write. I'd love to get those.
Love it. Yeah.
I think we're on that boat. And frankly, that's one of the reasons why I love doing this podcast, because it's a way for me to keep learning all the time. Right. So there's always others to learn from, which is great. I want to thank you all for your time. I appreciate you being part of this panel. This is the first time we've had a three-person panel, and helping other people that might be thinking about moving into product management, or millennials that are there now, just you know, some of the issues and some of the advice that you shared is really helpful. So thank you all.
Thanks so much for having us, Chad. Yeah.
Thanks again for listening. If we are not already connected on LinkedIn, please send me a connection request. Just search for Chad McAllister, PhD, on LinkedIn and you'll find me. For the summary of this episode, go to theeverydayinnovator.com/114. Keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to The Everyday Innovator, which teaches product managers to become product masters. For more resources, please visit our blog at theeverydayinnovator.com.